New boat to port, Captain.
Excellent stations. Mend the torpedoes.
Correction, sir. It seems to be a whale.
Damn. Is it one of ours?
I'm not sure, sir. It looks British.
Oh, well, kill him anyway.
Roger, sir. Hey.
Bang on, Lieutenant. Not just powdered egg for us tonight.
All aboard the emergency wartime edition of the Harpoon. Still only 7d/d net and 2d/d for all members of the armed forces. The Harpoon, holding aloft the glowing torch of freedom against the dark onslaught of the Nazi peril, includes free sachet of Daddy's sauce.
Well, these are troubled times and no mistake. The air is dark with the wings of the Luftwaffe, the channels bristling with Jerry telescopes. The London sky is lit up like some kind of awful sky that's been lit up. Harpoon House is naught but rubble. The streets lie smashed and desolate like so many toy buildings broken in twain by an irritable and unusually large child. Half the staff are away on active service. The issue's printed on wartime paper. And all I've had for dinner is a powdered egg. Then to cap it all, I'm holding an unexploded bomb. Still, you've got to laugh, haven't you? Take this, will you, Thornton? What an issue we've got for you. There's fun in the blackout with old Nurse Dennis.
Mr. Travis, would you care to hold this for a second?
Right.
And Scoutmaster Henry Travis is back. He'll be awarding this month's Harpoon Scout badges, from the I've Tied a Granny Knot badge to the I've Infiltrated a Gestapo Unit and Sabotaged a Railway Line badge. Ah! Oh, dear. Well... we'll probably have a couple of did-you-knows instead.
Rabbit, run, rabbit, run,
run, run. Anyone seen where his ears landed? Ah!
Madam.
Yes?
Is your journey really necessary?
Well,
stop. Think. Every day, Britain uses thousands of gallons of petrol, when it could be more gainfully utilised for the war effort.
But I'm walking.
Don't quibble. Where are you going?
To my Uncle Ernie's in Wandsworth.
Why?
Well, he's 68 and he's suffering from a rare tropical disease he caught in Singapore. And I've just come from St Thomas's Hospital, where one of the country's leading doctors has given me a phial of serum, which is the only known antidote. And he must take it in the next 20 minutes, or he'll suffer torturous pangs of agony, climaxing in a horrible, long-drawn-out death.
Oh, I see. Do you like him?
Of course I like him.
So I suppose you'd say your journey is quite necessary, then?
Yes.
Well, run along, then.
Bye.
Bye.
A look around Bomber Command.
Harpoon Bomber Command correspondent Mr. Jones takes a look around Bomber Command. With illustrations by Spunky, I can do drawings of Bomber Command, Litchfield.
Hello. Bomber Command is the place where all bomb-related commands, such as go and do some bombing, are issued. Shall we take a look? Okay. I'm now standing in the main operations room. On a table at the centre is a huge map of Europe. Around it, young women pushing small plastic aeroplanes around with sticks. Officer Bunty... what's going on?
We're pushing plastic planes around a map of Europe with sticks, whilst looking cool and efficient, even though we're secretly in love with the commanding officer.
I see. And what are those girls doing over there?
Oh, they're for when I knock off. They'll be pushing a plastic model of me around a big map of Chorley Wood.
Finally, Bunty, do you think we'll win the war in the air?
Of course we will, you silly goose. The Luftwaffe may have more planes than us, but they haven't got giant women stalking around Europe, dropping huge flags on enemy cities. And we have. I repeat, we have.
Bunty, thanks. Isn't she nice? Now I'm in the communications room, where skilled wireless operators work around the clock, keeping in touch with our chaps out there in the skies. Radio Officer Klassen, what's your specific job?
Well, I operate the Scrambler, which is a highly sophisticated new device comprising 10,000 valves, 11 miles of wiring, and which renders communications totally unrecognisable to the enemy. Listen to this.
Winko Bryson to Bomber Command, coming in for big fireworks, then back home for porridge. Roger.
And after scrambling...
Winko Bryson to Bomber Command. Coming in for big fireworks, then back home for porridge. Roger!
Thank you. Ah, hello, sir. What do you do?
I'm in charge of nicknames, monikers, that sort of thing.
Really? Could you give us a few examples?
When this place was built, it was just called Command, which was a bit dull. Well, I heard they were going to use it for bombing, so I came up with the nickname Bomber. Bomber Command, you see?
Marvellous, just marvellous.
Thanks, thanks. Then they invented these leather jackets with fur collars for the bomber pilots to wear. I suggested calling them bomber jackets.
You are a genius.
Oh, I don't know about that, Jonesy. You see, I've been trying for 3 years now to come up with something for this chap Harris we've got, who used to fly bomber aircraft and is now in charge of all bombing of enemy territory, which is done with bombs. And I must admit, this one's really got me foxed.
The expression bomber Harris springs to mind.
By God, you've got it. Bomber Harris!
Yes.
Of course! All those years of racking my brain, all those sleepless nights, and it was there all the time, right in front of my very eyes. Bomber Harris! Why, thank you, Mr. Jones, thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have time for, readers.
Here, take this money. It's only £3.12, but what? It's all I've got.
No, really, it was please. Nothing. No, honestly. Next week, I'll be taking a look.
All right, very well, have my clothes, please.
Pardon?
Take them!
Look, there's really no need for that.
All right, the key to my house. What? Here you are. Just explain to my wife. I'm useless.
No, honestly,
I deserve to die.
It's nothing, really. It's all your own work.
German Army War memorabilia for sale. Uniform, Iron Cross, parachute, only used once, und crashed Messerschmitt. Busy first to purchase what will surely become valuable mementos in years to come. Will swap for civilian clothes and or hiding place in attic. Right to helmet, third branch from the top, the big oak tree next to the water tower, Lampenham, Sussex. Up the allies and so on.
He bounced his way into the history books.
The Harpoon pays tribute to the man who, more than any other, was called Barnes Wallace, and who invented the bouncing bomb.
I, Barnes Wallace, was born in Watford in 1892. My first taste of inventing things was in a school workshop, where I came up with a very effective bouncing ball. Ooh, I was popular. You see, prior to my invention, balls didn't bounce. They simply fell to the ground and rolled around for a bit. Upon leaving school, I became apprenticed to a vacuum cleaner factory. It was there I entered a somewhat arid phase in my career.
What in heaven's name is that, Barnes Wallace?
It's a bouncing vacuum cleaner, sir. Like it?
Get out.
Bitch. My employ at the vacuum cleaner factory having been mysteriously curtailed, I betook myself to a firm of refrigerator suppliers in Houndsditch.
There. Finished.
Ah, how's it coming along, Barnes Wallace?
Have a look, sir.
Oh, not bad. A deluxe four-tiered fridge freezer with expandable ice-making compartment and optional extra shelving. There's just one thing.
Sir?
Why has it got four huge springs attached to the base?
Well, so it can bounce, sir.
Bounce?
Yes, sir. Look.
And what, pray, is the use of that?
I don't know, sir.
Springer!
I said I don't know, sir.
And take your wretched object with you!
Come on, Louis.
Poverty-stricken, I sank to the abysmal depths of a doss house in Aldgate, where I eked out my days hunched over a blueprint for a bouncing dog kennel. Then, as I was leafing drearily through War Monthly... Wanted, bomb. Must have the ability to reach its target by first descending to ground level, and then, upon impact, rising suddenly again, thence descending, and repeating this sequence at regular diminishing intervals until the target is reached. Apply War Office Box 4. Descending to ground level, then... Wait a minute!
Wing Commander, I think I may have something here that might interest you.
Target 30 degrees west, Ginger.
Roger, Wilkes, sir.
Bombs away, Ginger. And watch that baby bounce.
After years of neglect, my persistence had paid off. It was indeed my finest hour. Or rather, it would have been. Tragically, my somewhat baffling decision to incorporate a 40-piece orchestra playing the theme from the Dambusters into the design of the bomb alerted the Germans, and they were ready for us. 10 years previously, I had, in a careless moment, sold our future enemies a blueprint for the world's first bouncing dam. All in all, I suppose I'm a bit of a cretin, really. I don't know, I've had my moments. Anyway, farewell, readers. And if there is a moral to this tale, then perhaps it is this. Come on, moral. Come on, boy. Bouncy, bouncy. We can't expect them to understand, can we? Never mind, eh? Never mind.
Extremely reliable international messenger service now available for deliveries to all over Europe, but especially Germany. I'm prepared to set off at a moment's notice in return for wig, dark glasses, rail ticket to Dover, rubber dinghy, and somewhere to store ein crashed Messerschmitt. Contact Helmut, disused hayloft just next to what looks like ein Osthaus, Lampenham, Sussex. No salesman will call.
I was there.
A thrilling eyewitness account of the Battle of the Aegean.
By Captain Foxtrot Slapper Caprice, Commander-in-Chief of the British Naval Forces in the West.
For reasons of security, the captain's article has been heavily censored by the War Office. All locations, names, and points of strategy have been replaced by various animal noises. We hope that this will not affect your enjoyment of the article.
Hello. And greetings to all. When I was asked by to supply a first-hand account of my experiences in I accepted the commission with a mixture of apprehension, excitement, and downright our mission began on the morning of with a blockade of the southern coast of braving 8 enemy U-boats, we sailed westwards to and dropped anchor 2 leagues north of what fate awaited us? I summoned my men to the bridge and announced my master plan. We would advance upon the enemy and 14 donuts. Then a sort of gentle stroking motion with the cupped hand. They all agreed, although Jenkins seemed a little reluctant. Well, join me next week when I'll be it's all right, I was only going to say. Look, it's nothing secret, I was just oh, this is ridiculous. All I'm trying to oh, sod it. I'm doing a gardening column next week.
Sir.
Yes?
Is your journey really necessary?
Well, I think so, yes.
Oh. Well, what makes you so damn certain?
Well, I'm a priest on my way to the altar to marry that couple over there.
Oh. And it has to be today, does it?
What?
They have to get married today.
Well, of course they do.
Because people can get married any day of the week, you know. I mean, there is a war on.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Well, could you just go then, please?
What, now?
Yes, now.
All right. Well, I suppose you better carry on then. Just don't be so cocky next time.
Harpoon Domestic Corner.
laughing through the blackout.
Household correspondent Nurse Dennis shows how to make the most of compulsory prolonged periods of total pitch darkness with yet more help from little Bobby.
Hello, Materios. How many times have you sat in the dark of an evening, knitting a gas mask, listening to Itmar and thinking, there must be more to life than this? Well, you'd be wrong. But there are ways in which you can brighten up interminable nights trapped in the lining of Mother War's pantyhose.
Number one.
Thank you, Bobby. Imagine yourself to be a glamorous movie star. One of the great joys of darkness is that you can't see anything, and that includes your own body. I started fantasizing 10 minutes ago, and I'm already half convinced I'm Mickey Rooney. No mean feat for a woman of my proportions, I can tell you.
Number two.
Hurling harmless gesticulatory abuse at those around you. With the cloak of pitch darkness, you can poke your tongue out at Grandma, stick your fingers up at the vicar, and imply that your sister is mentally ill by pointing at her with one index finger and tapping your temple repeatedly with the other. And nobody will ever know.
Number three.
This may sound a little dangerous, but it's certainly exciting. Put all the lights in the house on. Righty-ho, Bobby, off you go. Oh, and there you have it. A relatively suicidal act, admittedly, and one unlikely to endear you to the authorities, but at least it broke up the tedium. Right, Bobby, let's... Bobby? Bobby!
And Nurse Dennis returns next week with Sniffer Dogs, nature's way of finding little boys trapped under large piles of smoking rubble.
Harpoon War Poetry, with our resident war poet, Mr. Julian Fisk. Unfortunately, Mr. Fisk is away this week after being blown up during a recital of an ode to peace, so the Harpoon has invited another official war artist to take his place. Rubberlegs Wilbur is the official war acrobat for the Ministry of Information. He was recently commissioned to tour the front line at Normandy and sum up his experiences there by devising a series of somersaults, tumbles, and slapstick routines designed to reflect the horror, the tragedy, and the ghastly futility of a world at war. Wilbur.
I give you the grim reality of global carnage. You know that solid ghastliness. I thank you.
Next week, Strawberry O'Reilly, the official war baker, will show us some pictures of some buns he has made after entering Danzig with the King's 1st Tank Regiment. These pastries are an attempt to capture in flour and water the very pity of war, he says. Each raisin represents the smile of a liberated Polish housewife, each currant the wistful tear of a weary bombardier, and the jams Hitler.
Careless talk costs lives.
Harpoon picture test.
Drawn by Harcourt Silence, author of Walls Have Ears, Noses, Chins, and yes, they can walk too, and have babies, I think.
Study the illustrations below, depicting two smiling Cockney women leaning over a garden fence. One holding a basket of washing, the other with a wooden peg in her mouth, and both wearing spotted headscarves. Can you detect anything untoward in their conversation?
Well, I said to Sydney only the other day, I said, Sydney, if them Germans want to bomb something really important, crucial to the entire Allied war effort, they should bomb that new munitions factory on the outskirts of town.
Well, which one's that, then?
Oh, you know, the one Wicker and Paxton's, just off the Coolidge High Road.
Oh, God,
it's got that big grey tower sticking up with the other two towers with the blue lights that go on at night. You know, that's the one they should bomb.
You mean the one near the canal?
No. You're thinking of the spring factory. Look, it's half a mile up the road to Epping. You take the second left turn in at the junction, over the bridge, right at Berry's farm, and it's straight ahead. Look, here are the map references. There. Now, 80 degrees longitude, 40 degrees latitude, grid reference 432184.
Oh, I can't place it myself.
Look, here are some close-up aerial photographs I took the other day. Ring a bell now, you daft ape.
I can't.
Here's one of the staff passes they use with the name of the firm on the top and one of their uniforms.
Yep.
Blue, khaki collar. And the assistant manager's wig and glasses in case you wanted to look like him with a plastic surgery kit and bomb-making equipment. You know the one.
That one!
Well, did you spot the slip-up? We did. So we shot them. Hip, hip.
Have you just suffered a death in the family, are looking for a burial service with that personal touch, and are located in the south of England, preferably on a bit of coastline not that far from France? Well, why not try my new discreet 24-hour grave digging service? I will dispose of the bereaved on the beach of your choice in return for loan of a mechanical digger, compass, big torch on the 1941 reprint of How to Dig Ein Tunnel Under the English Channel in 5 Easy Steps. Helmut, inside ein postbox, opposite Nancy's Fish Bar, Lampenham, Sussex. Please.
Harpoon war effort.
In these days of subterfuge, counter-subterfuge and counter-counter-subterfuge, it is difficult to tell who is the enemy and who isn't.
This week, how to tell if you're German. Here are several telltale signs.
One, you live in a place with a long name like Wissenschaft Lichtenbaden and not Ipswich.
Two, you stop at a restaurant or dual carriageway and are surprised by the limited number of sausages on the menu.
Three, when invited to your firm's annual dinner dance, you turn up in shorts and a trilby, and when the music begins, you start slapping your thigh to the astonishment of your friends, who are insurance executives.
Four, you cannot understand this.
Five, or this.
If any of the above applies to you, and you think you are German, run, everybody.
Sir!
Yes?
Is your journey really necessary?
What?
I said, is your journey really necessary?
Are you unhinged?
Just answer the question, please.
Well, of course my journey's necessary. I'm a jockey. We're in the middle of the Derby, for goodness sake. My horse is coming up to fence number 8. I'd call that pretty bloody necessary, wouldn't you?
Yes, well, all right, but winning isn't everything, is it?
What?
Well, look at Van Gogh. Never sold a picture in his life. Doesn't mean to say he led a futile existence. Everything's win-win-win these days. Nobody's got time for the simple things in life.
What are you blathering on about?
Oh, nothing.
Know Your Submarines, the secret of an ocean-going sub, drawn by Miss Charlotte Quiet of the War Office Submarine Illustration Department.
Hello. Below you will see a diagram depicting one of the Royal Navy's latest ocean-going submarines. But don't tell anyone, will you? Because Hitler might want one. Note that it is cut away to a cross-section, enabling us to see its inner workings.
Ooh. Cool. Bit parky, eh, sir?
That's because we're a cross-section, Wilkins.
Yeah. Yeah, me and the men were wondering, sir, like, when we're going to get a proper sub, sir, instead of, like, this blooming cross-section, sir.
Yes, sir. Everything's cut in half, sir. They never told us how to sell a cross-section at naval school. Yeah.
Quiet. None of us likes this crazy war, Wilmot. But there's nothing we can do about it, so we'll just have to jolly well lump it. Hitler loves a grasser, so if I say we're going to sail this cross-section sub, then by Jove, we're going to sail it. Why, I'd fight Nicholas Nazi in my underpants if it wasn't a strange and rather ineffective thing to do. So go to it, men. Let's show Timothy Turin the size of our fists.
The Adventures of a Cross-Section Submarine. Its perilous mission to patrol the ink-black waters of the Atlantic and protect our merchant fleet from the might of the enemy U-boats. The SS King George the... half a submarine, but with twice the courage.
What was that, Wilkins?
Mortlake falling out of bed, sir. You see, he's only got half a bunk, what with us being a cross-section and everything, sir.
I see. Chin up, Mortlake.
Thank you, sir.
Blimey, sir. Look at O'Reilly.
Oh,
he must have been standing right where the cross-section was done, sir.
My God, he's been cut clean in two.
Yeah. There's his intestines all wrapped up like a red hose pipe, sir.
You've got half a mouth, Mortlake. Don't try to speak, man.
Blimey, sir. Luftwaffe.
Action stations, everyone. Our big chance to get a crack at Patrick Prussian.
Yes, but remember, sir, whatever we do...
What?
We mustn't...
Dive.
Oh, my God!
And here end the adventures of the cross-section submarine. Because, quite frankly, the concept just doesn't work.
Authorities... Are you looking for crashed German fighter pilots to lock up and interrogate until the end of the war? Well, look no further. With me or your member of the Luftwaffe fed up to the eyebrows with dragging a smashed-up plane around Sussex needs, they'll be satisfied in seconds. Helmut, standing in the middle of ein busy high street shouting, I'm a Kraut! Please arrest me! Lampenham, Sussex.
Hello.
Look, I was wondering if there's anyone out there who's on a sort of journey and who feels that it isn't incredibly vital that they continue it. So I can say to them, is your journey really necessary? I won't tell you off or anything. I'll just warn you and speak to you in a very authoritative voice. Because I like that. I like it a lot.
Harpoon back pages.
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it.
Well, here as ever, your regular kit bag of conundrums, capers, cartoons, cookery hints, correspondence, crosswords, and a scarf. First off, Harpoon Challenge.
What would you do? You are General Clive Wilmot, trapped in a dugout 14 miles inland from the Normandy coast. On all four sides are the remains of three divisions of German commandos who are advancing towards you unchallenged by air or land. The Luftwaffe are about to mount a bombing raid, and the nearest American forces are 28 miles away. Your radio has failed, and your ammunition has just run out. What would you do?
And send your answers on a postcard to General Clive Wilmot, 4 miles east of Chablis-sur-Ouse, northern France. And try to be a bit sharpish, eh? Next up, Harpoon War Bonds, an exclusive offer to members of the Harpooners Club. See below for this week's Cut Out and Keep War Bond. Collect all 10 bonds and you can send off for your very own war. Yes, a war of your choice can be yours to enjoy in the comfort of your own home. For 10 tokens, you can have the Crimean War. For a further 3 tokens, you can be the proud owner of the Great War. And for historically minded collectors, send 15 tokens and the Battle of Agincourt will be yours. For those of you watching your pockets, 1 token can secure you quite a violent tiff between Disraeli and the French ambassador.
You French git! Zut da law!
And for 0.5 token, we'll frown at a photograph of your mother. Well, lastly, here's a Harpoon Stop Press war news update, and it's looking pretty grim. The Germans have fought back in France and are pinning our boys down in a wide-sweeping pincer movement. The American army in Italy has suffered a major setback in the foothills of Padua, where enemy planes have destroyed 3 tank regiments. And the North England is poised for an imminent German invasion scheduled to commence at approximately 0400 hours, consisting of massive aerial bombardments, sea attacks on all ports from Newcastle to Whitby, and beach landings from Southwold to Strumblehead. So, just time for the answers to last week's crossword.
Silver, Arthur, mud, costing, likelihood, froth, beachcomber, tit, custard cream, and sex.
And the winner will receive a clothing coupon worth 2 buttonholes and a sleeve. Happy wearing and hip hip!
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Oh, come on, let's go.
The Harpoon is printed and published weekly by the proprietors, London W1. The magazine was penned by Julian Dutton and Peter Bainham. The characters were lavishly depicted by Susie Brann, Alistair McGowan, Mary Elliott Nelson, Peter Bainham, and Julian Dutton. The Harpoon was produced on stretched goat's vellum by Sarah Smith. All rights reserved.
Everything's coming my way. Who's been polishing the sun? They must have known just how I like it. Everything's coming my way.
Attention, everybody in Britain, from Luftwaffe officer Helmut Schluppenschaft, currently standing at the top of Ein Cliff on the outskirts of Lampenham, Sussex. By the time you read this, I will be...
Stop right there!
Yeah? At last! Just when I was about to end it all, my salvation has arrived. You've come to arrest me. Oh, danke schön.
No. I was just wondering how necessary your journey was. I mean, you don't have to reply immediately.
Bugger it.
No, I... Oh, dear. Sorry.